Now let's continue on in Zechariah 4. And let me just mention here, when you read these things about Joshua the high priest and indefinite references to Christ, grace, grace, so forth, and the branch, and also Zerubbabel, you have the literal high priest, Joshua. You have the prophetic high priest, Christ. You have a type of the coming one of the two witnesses. See, because the prophecy can have several different applications because it's not just the name of the person alone, but also the office that they are engaged in. Okay? So likewise with Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel was a type of Christ, okay, as governor. So, you see, Christ is king and priest. So you have him even blending together. But here I want to focus in on the two witnesses, and we'll see how they connect with this part of the book of Zechariah. All right, Zechariah 4 and verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and awakened me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see, behold, a lampstand, all of it gold, and a bowl on its top, seven lamps upon it, seven pipes feeding the seven lamps on its top." Now, this is not the lampstand that was sitting before the Holy of Holies. That was like a candelabra with seven. Actually, they had little cups. Now, you've seen these little plastic things where they put syrup in and they bring it to you if you eat pancakes at a restaurant and you pour it out. Well, those little cups of gold were made similar to that, and they would lay a wick in that little area that you would pour from, and they would fill the little cup with olive oil. And the priest had to light that every between the two evenings. Okay? Those represent, just put in your notes there, Revelation 4 and 5 being the eyes, the seven eyes of the Lord, the seven spirits. See? Now, what we are talking about here is something entirely different. This construction, if you look at it, behold a lampstand, all of it gold, and a bowl on its top. So here above it is a bowl full of olive oil feeding down to the seven lamps. Entirely different than what was at the temple. See? So this is prophetic. And seven pipes to the seven lamps on its top. Okay? Coming down to the seven lamps. Okay? This is more like the seven lampstands of Revelation 1. Okay, hold your place. Come back to Revelation 1. Let's go there. Let's look at it. This may prove to be very interesting indeed. Revelation, the first chapter. Now, a lot of people think that the seven lampstands, Revelation, the first chapter, represent the seven candelabra, but it wasn't candle, but the olive bowls with the wicks in them, okay, olive oil bowls. Now, here, these represent the churches. Let's pick it up in verse 11, saying, this is the voice he heard, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, and what you see, write in a book and send it to the churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and Laodicea." Okay? Now, "and I turned to see the voice that spoke with me." How do you turn to see the voice? I don't know. But he turned in direction of the voice to see if there was anyone there. And he didn't see anyone, but when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, in the midst. So these have to be in a circle, and Christ in the middle. And Christ gives spirit to the churches, correct? Seven lampstands, Christ in the middle of them. And these we know are the churches we will see. Okay? Let's come down here to verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands that you saw are the seven churches. Totally different. Okay, since we're here in Revelation, let's go to Revelation 4 and 5 and look at the seven spirits of God. All right? Let's come here to verse 3, Revelation 4. This is what John saw. The most detailed vision of the throne of God in the whole Bible, right here. And he who was sitting was in appearance like a jasper stone, a sardis stone, and a rainbow was round about the throne, like an emerald in its appearance. And around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and they had on their heads golden crowns. Proceeding from the throne were lightnings, and thunders, and voices, and seven lamps of fire, which are the seven spirits of God burning before the throne. See, these are not the seven lampstands. Okay? These seven spirits before the throne of God, that's a type of the lampstand that was in the temple. Now, come down here to verse 6 of chapter 5. Then I saw, and behold, before the throne and the four living creatures, and before the elders was standing a lamb, as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. All right. We know this is a type of Christ, right? What are the seven horns coming out of the head of the lamb? These have to be the seven churches, because Christ is the head of the seven churches, right? Because the head controls the horns, right? So we have several parables, or not several parables, but several descriptions concerning the church. Lampstands, Christ in the middle. Zechariah 4, lampstands with a golden bowl at the top of it, with pipes coming down to feed those lamps, which is different than the one that is before the Holy of Holies. It wasn't in it, but it was just right in front of it. They had the little cups of oil, seven cups of oil, with the wick standing on the obra. See? Now, these seven spirits represent what God then is doing spiritually, see? Okay? Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent into all the earth. Okay, this is Christ knowing what's going on the earth. God hasn't gone somewhere way off. God knows exactly what's going on the earth. No question about it. He's involved in these things. Okay? And we find in 2 Chronicles 16 that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro through all the earth, seeking those who are seeking him. And then we have John, the sixth chapter. The Father draws a person, correct? How does he know when to draw one? Well, many of the people I've talked to here recently that we have baptized, and by the way, in the last, about 6 weeks, we've had 8 baptisms from church at home, brand new people. See? Well, how does God start dealing with a person? Every one of them said, I got down on my knees and said, God, show me the truth. They don't know where the church is. They don't know anything about anything. But their lives are such they want God. Well, God answers those prayers, right? And if they are seeking and knocking and asking, they will receive. And so the seven eyes of the Lord are constantly knowing what's going on in the world, as well as the angels. I mean, there's a lot going on we don't even see, you know. It's just like the law of gravity, it's everywhere, and just like magnetic electronic waves in the air, which right in this room, if they have Wi-Fi here, you can hook up your smartphone, you can hook up your computer, just turn it on and you got it. All television stations, all radio stations, but you have to have a tune-in dial to get it, right? Okay? Same way with God. There are people out there who are seeking, and then God begins to deal with them and begins to draw them, see? So this is how God does it. All right. Now, let's come back here to Zechariah, the fourth chapter again, see? So when we read these things, let's not make the mistake of thinking that they're all referring to one thing. Now back here to Zechariah 4. Now notice what else is there. Verse 3, and two olive trees beside it, one on the right hand of the bowl, the other on the left side of it. So this is quite a thing. So you have the big bowl right on the right and left of it. You have the two olive trees. Coming down from the bowl directly to the seven lampstands, the oil of God, type of God's Spirit. Coming down to the seven churches. And brethren, let's just say this. If you read Revelation 2 and 3 very carefully, don't you think that there are those churches of God today, all seven, that are functioning on the earth as God sees them? See, we're limited in our thinking because we think in terms of a corporate church. And so men who want control say, well, if you leave this organization, you're leaving God. Really? Is this the throne of God? No. You leave God if you reject him. See? Organization can't save you. Organization can't throw you in the lake of fire. Christ is our Savior. He gives us of his Spirit. We are to be fed through the church. So the church, the collective body of Christ, with Christ as the head of it, needs to be doing the will of God, preaching the word of God, right? Yes. Now then you read of the seven churches. You have the good, you have the not so good, you have the bad, you have the ugly, you have the dead, and you have the lukewarm. Right? Doesn't that describe the churches of God today? Yes. Okay. So he didn't know what this is. Verse 4. And I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you know what they are? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Okay? Now this is to the governor. We can apply this to one of the two witnesses, as we will see. This is why I have said that the two witnesses will be the coming high priest at the temple and the governor of Judea. Now, there's one other that has to come into the equation. That's the final Elijah, Malachi 4. What is he going to do? He is going to do the work of serving the people that repent in Judea because of the two witnesses. Remember, Jews need a sign, and there are going to be signs given to them. The priest, the governor, two witnesses, and then the one who will fulfill the last Elijah. All right. Here's something we all need to learn. Not by might, that is by your own ability, or by power that you may be able to exercise, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And what are we talking about in all these things we've been talking about? Various aspects of the Spirit of God, correct? See? Who are you, O great mountain? Behold, Zerubbabel shall become Behold, before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone with shouting, grace, grace unto it. Okay, you can apply that to the coming of Christ. You can apply that to the beginning of the millennium. You can apply that to the time when they finished the temple. When you read of it back there in the book of Ezra. Okay. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. That was the second temple. Now, it may very well apply to the coming governor of Judea at the end. He may be there to help lay the foundation stone. You know, when they lay that foundation stone, it's going to be a big ceremony. And you know that the governor of Judea is going to be there. And you know the one that has been selected from the house of Aaron to be the high priest will be there. They already have the garments and things already made at the Temple Institute waiting for the day. The only thing holding up is where to put the temple, not where the Mosque of Omar is now. You know, they have the Western Wailing Wall, and all the Jews go there and pray before. And one man saw an old Jew, you know, what they do, they rock back and forth when they're praying, you know. And the old man got done, he said, how long have you been praying here? And he said, for 60 years, ever since Jerusalem has been freed from the Arabs. What do you pray about? I pray for the state of Israel. I pray for the Jews everywhere. I pray for the coming of the Messiah. And said, well, what's that been like? Has anything ever happened? He said, no. Well, then how do you explain it? He says, sometimes I feel like I'm talking to a wall. Okay. Now, verse 9, speaking of the people, and you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me, that is Zechariah, to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice when they see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel, laying the cornerstone. These seven are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. See how that ties back with Revelation 4, Revelation 5, 2 Chronicles 16. Add to that all the angels. And remember the time of Elisha when Samaria was surrounded by armies, and the assistant of Elisha said, oh, how are we going to get out of this? And Elisha looked at him and said, there are more for us than there are of them. Looked around like that. And so Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. What did he see? Hosts of angelic chariots. And what happened? The armies were defeated. Okay? Now let's continue here. Verse 11. And I answered and said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on its left side? So again, the bowl, the pipes coming down to the seven lamps, the two olive trees, all together. Let's see what he says. And he answered and said to me, do you not know what they are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Now, that's something. Let's come back to Revelation 11 concerning the two witnesses. Now, we'll put the picture together. It's like a big puzzle. How many here have ever put together a 1,000-piece puzzle? Remember how good you felt when you got the border done? And then how good you felt when you got some of the other things put together? What an achievement it was when you put the last piece in? Well, that's kind of like understanding these prophecies, see? There are many aspects to it, but it paints one big picture. All right, Revelation 11, verse 1. Then the angel gave me a measuring rod like a staff, saying, Arise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it. All right. Oh, here's John. He was given this vision. This was about 98 A.D. Temple was destroyed in 70 A.D. and still barren ground. So he's given this vision and told to measure the temple. Now, this perplexed him, and you can see that in this particular situation. So just put in your notes there, Matthew 24:15. And when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. Now, there's a parenthetical statement there which says, the one who reads, let him understand. Who put that there? Jesus didn't speak it. Because when you were able to see, the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, then you knew the great tribulation was going to take place. Now here, how are you going to put it together? John received a vision that there's going to be a temple. He knows there's no temple in Jerusalem. He reads 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because he's got all the books of the New Testament there to do the final canonization. So when he's doing the final canonization, because he didn't know how to put it together, because there was no temple, yet there was the vision of the temple, and there was the man of sin, the son of perdition, who goes into the temple of God and says that he is God. And John was alive when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed at 70 A.D. And he knew that never happened. So he knew two things, three things. One, there's no temple. Two, you have the prophecy of the man of sin, son of perdition, going into the temple. Now, if the temple doesn't exist and it didn't happen when it was destroyed in 70 A.D., there's got to be another temple, right? So he inserts the statement, the one who reads, let him understand, because I, John, as he was given this job to canonize the New Testament with the book of Revelation, don't understand it. But he knows that these are the true words of God. All right. So we have the temple. He says, do not measure the outer court. It has been given up to the Gentiles, and they shall trample upon the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy for 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. When they install the temple, which they're going to be built, they'll have on all of their regal ceremonial robes. I don't know how the governor of Judea is going to dress at that time, but when the man of sin, the son of perdition, comes into the temple and stops the sacrifices, then they're going to rip their clothes, and the two witnesses will become the two witnesses clothed in sackcloth. And God is going to give them overwhelming power because these are the two anointed ones that stand before the God of the whole earth. Okay, let's read it. Verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the God of the whole earth. Zechariah 4. Okay? Can't be the church. They're not coming from the church. We've seen how many come along and say they're the two witnesses. You know, even the Jews in Jerusalem, they have a special squad to handle prophets. You've heard of it, haven't you? Yeah. They come in, some come in, say I'm Jeremiah, some come in, say I'm Elijah. You know the account of this one special detective was handling one Elijah, and they put him up in a hotel to try and get him to calm down and talk with him and so forth. Well, the next day, another Elijah came in. So you know what happened. When they had breakfast in the morning, he invited them both to the table, and he said, Elijah, I'd like you to meet Elijah. Yeah. Okay? So, these are the ones who stand before the God of the whole earth. Now notice the power that has been given to them. And if anyone attempts to harm them, fire will go out of their mouths and devour their enemies. If anyone attempts to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. That's going to set all the news channels ablaze. See, because we know the whole world's going to see these things taking place. We'll see that in just a bit. These have authority to shut up heaven so no rain may fall into the days of their prophecy. They have authority over the waters to turn them into blood and smite the earth with every plague as often as they will. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the abyss will make war against them and overcome them and will kill them, and their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Then the peoples and the tribes and languages and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days. The whole world's going to see this. See, the things, the events that are going to happen in the end time are going to be big time, huge events that God is going to make happen. And the two witnesses are going to have such absolute power. Can you imagine the ceremonies they're going to have for the soldiers that, you know, attempted to kill the two witnesses and zap, fire came out of their mouth? All they do is speak the word and here comes a fire. You know, a walking blowtorch. You know, we could make a great movie on that, couldn't we? Oh, man. Okay. Well, God is going to do the real thing. Okay. Now, notice what they did. They shall see their bodies 3.5 days, for they will not allow their bodies to be put into the tombs, and those who dwell on the earth. So it's going to be a worldwide thing. See, remember this at the end. Everything is going to be worldwide. All nations, all languages, all tongues, all people. And will make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets had tormented those who dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were watching. Just like God always does, when the enemy thinks they have won, bang! See? Remember in the days of Jehoshaphat, or Hezekiah rather, the Syrian army of 180,000 had surrounded Jerusalem, and the commander came and told the people sitting on the wall of Jerusalem, don't listen to Hezekiah or Isaiah when they tell you that, you know, your God's going to take care of it. Now you look what the king of Assyria has done to all these nations, and we want to tell you we've got all the booty, we've got the gold, we've got the silver, we've got all the precious jewels and everything like that, and we have slaughtered and destroyed the armies of these nations, and you're going to be just like it. So give this letter to Hezekiah, terms of surrender. So Hezekiah went into the house of the Lord and prayed about it, and Isaiah came with the message, the answer: God is going to fight the battle for you. You won't have to fight. So the next morning, they got up. No battle. Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, he got up, and it was real silent. Why is it so silent out there? And he looked, and of the 180,000 troops were all dead. So you see, when God decides to do something, it's going to be done in great power. Okay? So when the two witnesses come back to life, can you imagine what they're going to do? And I picture this. There'll be television cameras right there. The world will know. And they heard a great voice from heaven say, "Come up here." This is just at the start, right at the start, just before the seventh trump is sounded. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them rise. And in that hour, There was a great earthquake, a tenth of the city fell, 7,000 men were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were filled with fear and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second woe was past, behold, the third woe comes immediately. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and that is the resurrection.
See?
Well, there are going to be a lot of things happen.
See?
So anyway, that helps answer the question of Zechariah. Okay, it's about time for us to go eat. So let's go ahead and take a break.